So we are excited to go. A few more weeks. That'd be the last part of July that we'll be going. And so just encourage you to pray. I want to stop right now and thank you because this church, as usual, to the glory of God, has been very generous to the team and to the preparation as we are preparing to go on this trip. So I want to share a few things with you. Around 2003, before I was at River Cities, I was pastoring a small church in Ohio, and while I was there, one of the things I was doing is I was praying about missions. Now, not going to be a missionary, but understanding missions more fully. I grew up in a church that supported missionaries, and that church also supported missionaries, but I wanted to have a deeper understanding. And so I began to read books, and I began to watch things. Now, I didn't have YouTube and all of that. Man, that would have been helpful, maybe. But as I was reading, one of the books that I was reading, I remember I was sitting at the Giovanni's in Minford, Ohio, mighty Minford Falcons, and I was reading this book by John Piper called Let the Nations Be Glad. And there was a statement. Now, I have to be honest, I have not read the entire book, even to this day. but there was a statement in that book that first confused me and then grabbed my heart. And here is what he said. He said, missions is not the goal of the church. And that stopped me. I didn't finish his statement because I went, what? He said, missions is not the goal of the church. Worship is. Oh, okay. So the goal of the church is not just to send missionaries out. The goal of the church is to worship God, to worship our Lord Jesus Christ. So I chewed on this statement probably for 45 minutes trying to get a hold of what he was saying, because had you asked me up to that point and a little bit after, why do we send missionaries, I would have said, well, that's what a church does. We send missionaries. Why wouldn't we do that? That's what we were told to do. But I began to wrestle with this. And the thing that began to click with me is when we live life, we are to worship God in everything we say, everything we do. The Apostle Paul said it this way in 1 Corinthians 10:31. He says, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. And this idea is, as we live our lives as worshipers of God, let us live in a way that causes other people to have the proper view of who God is, the proper opinion of God's reputation. So missions, why missions? Because there are people other places, there are people somewhere not worshiping God. There are people in Costa Rica not worshiping God. They have never heard of the life-giving truth of Jesus Christ. They're trying to survive. They're trying to find water. They're trying to take care of their families. But not only in Costa Rica, there are people who live on your street that are not worshiping God. There might even be people in this room that are not worshiping God. That's why we go. We go to declare the glory of God. Where we go? Through the gospel of Jesus Christ. So this is why missions exists. So that we can go and share that. Of course, obviously, I'm sharing with you specifically because of the trip that we'll be taking to Costa Rica to share the gospel with these folks, to share clean water. So there are three things that I want to share with you today. The first is this. I want to share with you a core value of this church. I want to share some characteristics of this church and of the trip, and then the commission that we have been given. So the core values, characteristic, and commission. Pastor Larry was really proud of me because I had all C's for that. Talking about the idea of core values, one of the core values that we have at River Cities is reaching our world. And if you hear us talk about it, you'll hear us talk about reaching our world around us, and then you'll hear us talk about reaching our world, the world beyond us. So our world and our world. And so obviously this focus is the world away from us. It is an international trip. And so this is why this core value is one of the reasons that we have mission trips and we do a number of the things that we do, because we want people to hear the life-changing message of Jesus Christ. We want to reach our world just as Jesus shared with us that we are to do, that he commissioned us to do. And now, what we will do is we'll alternate normally between stateside trips and international trips. And so there are a number of trips that we have taken. When I say we, I'm talking collectively because I haven't been on all of them. I've been on a few. Most of mine have been in the United States. This will be my first international trip. But in the past, River Cities as a congregation has had the opportunity to go to Juarez, Mexico, and to help repair houses, build a soup kitchen, share the gospel, do a VBS-type ministry. We have had folks go to Poland to help a church planter there that we support. We have also seen people go to Jerusalem and share the gospel with Jewish people, with Jews for Jesus. And they were spit at and yelled at and all kinds of things, but we still are trying to go. Locally, one of the things that you guys are familiar with is iEsperanza. Now, we have helped sponsor a Spanish-speaking church. I think it's on year 7 or 8, and there are at least 35 folks that are involved in the church. Now, they may not all be there on Sunday, but now the Lord is opening the door for that church to begin to reach out and open a campus in Ashland, Kentucky. And there are folks in St. Albans that are calling for them to come. There are folks in Lewisburg that are calling for them to come and help plant Spanish-speaking churches. And you guys had a part of that in your prayer and in your giving. These are things that the Lord has given us the opportunity to do. So if you're involved in this church, it's not that we just come on Sundays, sing our songs, hear our message, and go. No, these are the kinds of things that God is allowing us to do. Locally, you can see the garden that has been started in the yard next to the church. That will be a garden to help provide for folks who are in need with the opportunity to share the gospel. So these are all things that we've had the opportunity to do. The door God has opened now is through Sean Sutherland and Filter of Hope. You know, God brought the Sutherlands to our church a number of years ago. And God has just continued to bless them and bless us and open doors, and we praise God for that. And so that's part of what we have the opportunity to do in reaching our world, the world that is around us. And we don't know what God is going to do. We know that we have the opportunity to share the gospel, plant the seed. It's the Holy Spirit who gives the increase. He's the one who saves. So let me talk a little bit about the characteristics both of this church and also the trip that we have. One of the characteristics of River Cities Community Church is when we're involved in an outreach, when at all possible, and sometimes a little bit beyond that, we want a gospel component involved. Whether that is a verbal sharing of the full gospel to somebody, or it may be handing a tract with a bottle of water, or whatever the case may be, but we always want that component of the gospel to be there, because one of the mission of this church, the mission of this church is River Cities Community Church, that's us. We exist to help guide people to their next step in Christ. Or you could say it this way, it's the Great Commission. We don't have to come up with the mission for the church. Jesus gave that to us. So one of the reasons that we are going, one of the reasons that we want that gospel component in outreaches when we're talking to folks is because that's why we exist. When a church, when a business, when somebody loses focus on their mission, they do all kinds of things that aren't focused on what God would have them do. And as a church, we exist to help guide people to their next step in Christ. And we all have that next step. For some folks, they've been following Jesus for many years. There's still things that he wants to change in our lives. For other folks, it's the first time they heard the gospel. And that first step toward listening more closely to what God is saying to them. For another person, it might be they've heard the gospel for that last time, and they finally take that step, responding to the Spirit of God, and they trust Christ as Savior. There's always a next step in Christ for all of us. And that's why we're partnering with Filter of Hope, and we're also partnering with a local church down in Costa Rica, because we want those people to be followed up. One of the things that we do when we go on trips is we try to, like I said, share the gospel, but I think specifically of when we went to Las Vegas. You know, when people go, you had a mission trip to Las Vegas, seriously? Oh yeah, absolutely. We helped to plant a church there. We went 2 years in a row, and that church is still going, Grace City Church. And I remember specifically when we went, we were not the ones out sharing the gospel with the people on the campus of UNLV. The people in the church in that area, they were sharing the gospel. We then took a back seat, and we were fixing hamburgers and setting up tents and making sure that they had everything that they needed so that they could then share the gospel and connect with the college students on that campus. Those are things God has given us the opportunity to do. So please don't hear me up here going, River City's Community Church, woo! No, I'm saying go God. He has given us this opportunity. So what about the trip? So our trip, our team is made up of about 20 people, lots of adults, and there are some teenagers going. So we cut off the age at about 12. Another one of our core values is to have a family focus, and this trip specifically is family friendly. There are trips that we have taken in the past that weren't necessarily family friendly, not as safe as others could be, but this one is. And so the Lord has again given us that opportunity to take a group of about 20 people or so to this trip. And the way that we have brought the team together, we put out the call for folks who were interested, and as people began to gather and the team began to come together, we began to seek support. And the way that we function in this as a church, not just this team, is what we call by a principle of thirds. So a principle of thirds. So what that means is support, whether it is financial or whatever kind of support, part of it comes out of the pocket of the person going, so they have some skin in the game. Part of it comes from people they send prayer letters out to for either prayer or and prayer, support and prayer. So some of you received those things. Others of you have given just as you have known. Then the third component of that is fundraisers. The fundraisers we've had. The rummage sale we partnered with or split things with the youth group. But that goes into the thirds. Part of that working together on the fundraiser also builds team camaraderie. So part of it comes from our pocket. Part of it comes from folks who are supporting. Part of it comes from us working together on those fundraisers. And so that's how God has brought this team together and how he is and has provided for the folks of this team. And so that's how these things have kind of come together. So there you have the core value, why we are going. You've seen some characteristics of our church, which is exciting. And I'll wrap up with this. The commission, or co-mission, if you want to say. We are on mission with Jesus, and we are going to be an extension of River City's Community Church in Costa Rica. So we need your prayer. I can tell you that Satan has attacked the families that have agreed to go on this mission trip. My family and others. And so we desire your prayer. Jesus, before he left, as we read earlier, said this to his disciples. He said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age." So, Jesus had and has all authority, and he commissioned his disciples to go out and to teach people, to tell people, to share with people what he has done and what he has said. And because of their faithfulness, here we sit in the 21st century worshiping God. Because they were faithful, you have trusted Jesus Christ. We have the same mission. We have the same commission. Remember why John Piper said missions exist? It exists because there are people in different places in the world that are not worshiping God. And we have the opportunity to go and to share this life-changing news with them. There are folks in Costa Rica that they know we're coming, but they're not worshiping God yet. And we have the opportunity to share Him with them. So in this trip, we're going to have the opportunity to meet their physical need with the filter, changing their life because of that water. I heard one man say this. He said, as a doctor, I can treat all the people I want, but if they don't have clean drinking water, it's not going to matter. This is life-changing, folks. It's life-changing for now. But as Sean mentioned, we want life-changing for the future as well, for eternity. So just as you saw the water that's in the bucket, I'm not going to bring it up here because I'd end up spilling it, I know. And you saw, or you can see how dirty that water is. That's how we're born. We are born with dirty hearts. Every single one of us. In rebellion against God, doing our own thing, our own way, and ain't nobody going to tell us what to do. And we can dump in good work after good work, good deed after good deed. We can give to this mission trip. We could sing on the praise team. We could do all of these things. And it's dirty water after dirty water. It does not clean our hearts. Just like the people in Costa Rica have to have an outside entity, meaning the filter, not meaning us, that filter to clean their water, we have to have an outside entity to clean our hearts. Our filter, our Savior, is Jesus. Jesus came so that our dirty hearts, our rebellious hearts could be cleaned, so that we could be forgiven and be made right before God. Jesus took the wrath of God on our behalf so that we don't have to. That's the commission that we have been given. Jesus is the one who purifies us. In Ephesians chapter 2, Paul says this. He says, "And you were dead in your trespasses and sin, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience." We were all born spiritually dead. We were all born with that dirty heart, as I shared just a minute ago. But we're not the only ones. I'm not the only one. Everyone was born that way. If you look at verse 3, it says this. It says, "Among whom we all once lived." We all lived according to the passion of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. So everyone was born that way. Everyone was born in opposition to God. Somebody had to save us. Praise God, the next part of this verse says this, But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses and sin, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised up and seated with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. But God, some of the greatest words you could ever hear. We were all born dead in our trespasses and sin. We are guilty before God. Me too. We deserve the wrath of God. But God, who is rich in mercy. It's not that He has just a little bit of mercy that He sprinkles on some folks sometimes. No, God is rich in mercy and it overflows. Praise God for that. So we were hopelessly lost, but God stepped in. So how did He make us alive? In Colossians chapter 1, verses 19 through 23, it says this, "For in Him," that's in Jesus, "all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. And through Him," that's Jesus, "to reconcile to Himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace," here you go, "by the blood of His cross." It is by the blood of Jesus that we are made clean. That is the filter for our sin. And he goes on and says this, "And you who were alienated and hostile in mind toward God, doing evil things or evil deeds, He," Jesus, "has now reconciled in His body of flesh by His death in order to present you holy and blameless," clean water, holy and blameless, above reproach before him. Indeed, if you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from hope, the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all of creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister. So God is reconciling all things through the cross of Jesus Christ, through the blood of Jesus Christ. He is our filter. He is our Savior. He is the one who cleans us. Don't try to clean yourself up before you come to God. Let him clean you. He doesn't miss the spots that we miss. And Paul says this, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. It's not of your own doing." See, you can't clean yourself up. It's a gift, the gift of God, not as a result of work, so that no man may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So we are cleansed and made holy by Jesus Christ. It's by grace we have been saved. It's not by works. It's not by adding dirty water after dirty water. It's not by trying to make yourself right for God. It is by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. Faith, trust, believing that God is telling the truth. That's how we are made clean. He saves us so that, oh, could you imagine what heaven would be like if I saved myself? Oh, my goodness. Hey, let me tell you how I got to heaven. Who wants that? That's not heaven. Heaven is about worshiping him. Why does missions exist? Because there are people who aren't worshiping him. When we're in heaven, mission stops, worship continues. Praise God, we will worship him for eternity. So in wrapping up, literally wrapping up, not a preacher trick. So we're talking about taking this trip, using these filters to give people clean water and to share how they can have living water. And so we covet your prayers. The reason we're going is because God has commissioned us just as he commissioned his disciples, and he also commissioned you as a follower of Jesus, as a disciple of Jesus. So as I pray, one of the things I want you to consider is, how are you, or how have you been cleaned before God? Is it the filter of Jesus Christ? Is it the blood of Christ? Or are you still trying to clean your heart in your own strength? If that's the case, then after we're done, I would love to talk to you. Pastor Larry would love to talk to you, any of the pastors. The prayer room will be open. You go through the door by the American flag, and it's the first door on the left. But we would love to talk to you more about that, because you too can have a clean heart before God. Let's pray. But Father, we come to you in Jesus' name, and we are thankful that you've given us this opportunity. There have been hard times, there have been difficulties, there have been bumps and scrapes and all of that, as usual, because we have an enemy who does not want these people to hear the gospel. He doesn't care if they have clean drinking water. We can give that to them all day long, but as long as we don't share the gospel, Lord, I pray that you would open the door, prepare the path, that you would push the enemy back so that we can be obedient to you. Lord, I know that there are going to be times we share the entire gospel with folks. Other times we get to share a piece of it. I pray for those folks who will follow up behind us in the days, months, and years to come. Lord, thank you for the folks who have been generous to pray and to give. And we praise you for the team that you've put together. In Jesus' name, amen.